Happy Friday! We hope your coffee is strong this morning, and we welcome you to the weekly financial news podcast with CrossShield Financial. We hope you're ready to start your powerful financial journey. Don't worry, though, it will be fun. Today, we have some amazing people joining us, two brilliant financial coaches, Rudy Upshaw, who's also our CEO and founder. Hi, Rudy!
Hello, Rudy!
And then we've got Nick Bowater, who is also an amazing financial coach here at CrossShield Financial.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Aloha Friday.
Welcome. Aloha, yes, Friday. Yeah. We also have the lovely Stephanie Volkmer here with me, our fearless operations manager here at CrossShield. And of course, myself, Sky Scott, our brand.
Woo!
Sky.
Oh, yes. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
We are so happy. Like, honestly, it's been a long week, but we are here and we're ready to talk about some financial news with you guys. So we have a couple articles that are actually pretty interesting and they all seem to tie together. So the first one is that Gen X stands to gain the most wealth from the $84 trillion wealth transfer. And, Sky, we are remiss. We did not talk about our podcast mascot, and that Zoodle. Zoodle is our new podcast mascot that Rudy is training right now. So we would love for Rudy and Zoodle to talk a little bit about the Gen X stands to gain the most wealth from the $84 trillion wealth transfer.
Oh my gosh, this is such an interesting article. Zoodle, did you like the article?
Oh yeah.
All right. Very cool. Oh, yeah. Hey, so let's talk about this just a little bit. Is that cool, Zoodle?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You need to do a voice changer for him.
Yeah. Anyway. So this article talks about this huge amount of wealth that'll be transferring down to Gen X. And again, the Gen X age range is between 44 and 59 today. It's interesting. Gen X is like the lower age now is 44 years of age. That's pretty amazing. I thought it would be a lot lower than that, but
it's like they're getting older.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly. $84 trillion is going to be transferring down. And you know, as I looked at the article, I was just thinking about the clients that we work with. That are in this age bracket. And, you know, this age bracket is, you know, kids of the boomers that are coming along. They may have experienced some of that wealth from the parents. But what I'll tell you, being in this age category myself, and Nick, I'm kind of curious to hear your feedback as well. I think my generation really has not learned how to manage wealth very well in general. And I'd say it's even probably less so than the Gen Zs. And I think there's a huge opportunity for this particular age group. If you feel like you're probably going to be inheriting some, and I wouldn't say cash, it's not really about the cash, it's about all the other assets and things. If you're not in a place where you feel like you can manage that well, that's a great opportunity to have some conversations with financial coaches to help you, you know, honor that wealth transfer that is coming. And really to promote kind of the ability for the Gen Xers to really handle this well and do it properly. So, Nick, any thoughts about kind of you're kind of in that demographic, I think, as well. So any thoughts on that?
So according to NBCNews.com, I am technically on the very cusp of being a millennial. It starts at 81. And let me actually get to the article that I was on. 81 to 1996. So I am 1981. I'm October. So I'm technically, I think I'm a millennial, also known as a Gen Y. I didn't know that. So thank you, MSNBC. I think what you're saying is right, Rudy. I think that the financial literacy is a lot different back then. And I find myself, again, with our clientele, they're definitely of that demographic and they're searching for answers. They've made It's like they don't really know what's going on, but they're being fed off what's happening, like, you know, in society now online, you know, all of these debt traps. And I feel like the literacy wasn't there in that generation. Yeah. And even in millennials, like early millennials, I didn't know how to deal with money. I didn't know any of these things. I knew what a budget was. But I think what was interesting about that article was the investment types that the new generations are going to move into. Instead of like whatever our generation was, now they're moving into new tech and these impact kind of related investments, you know, as far as the environment, social justice, all these things. And that to me is so foreign. So I think there's a lot of catching up I have to do to kind of understand where they're coming from so I can guide them better. But it talks about, you know, like like investment, wealth management, all these companies are having to evolve as well. So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm really excited to see what it brings and, you know, how it grows me as a coach to, you know, to help the later generation.
You know, you bring up another topic, and that was the, I call it sexy investing, right?
I was thinking the same thing when I was reading it.
You know, your the Bitcoins, the all that type of stuff. But not only that, but also these other hybrid investment type products, right? Whole life insurance. I mean, whole life IULs, all those type of things. I had a conversation with actually a guy that's in that business last week, and super nice guy, but he was basically trying to sell me on the benefits of these hybrid type investments, right? These sexy investments, because you hear about them on the news all the time.
Oh yeah.
How much is one Bitcoin as of today? Anybody have any guesses? Without looking, don't cheat, Nick. You're cheating. Stop cheating.
25K. I go 25K.
$65,000 is the value of one Bitcoin today. What is a Bitcoin?
That is so crazy. Right.
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Can you explain a little more what sexy investing is to people like me who don't really understand what you mean?
Yeah. So, well, and again, I don't really know what the definition is. I'm going to tell you what Rudy's, I'm going to tell you what Zoodle's definition is.
Zoodle's. Yeah, give me Zoodle's.
Let's talk. Okay.
Hey, you know, it's all this stuff that we see in the news, all the flashy things. You know, the cryptocurrency has been just huge the last several years. You know, ETFs are not really sexy investing, but they're getting a lot of press. All these things that we're being kind of pushed and bombarded with. At the end of the day, investing should not necessarily be sexy. It should not have this strong, you got to buy it today. It's the latest thing. It should really not be sexy. It should be very methodical, very systemic. It should be part of our budget process. There is nothing less sexy than the budget process. I'll just tell you right there.
Yeah,
right? If you're wanting to, like, you know, separate from a boyfriend or kind of push
people, start
asking questions about, hey, tell me about your budget. That's a surefire way to get rid of somebody. But so even the sexy investing is all this hype that we've got. You know, right now we've got a lot of talk about artificial intelligence investments, artificial intelligence companies. NVIDIA is now the most highly valued company, at least in the United States, potentially in the world. And a lot of it's this AI piece, right? So there's nothing wrong with AI. There's nothing wrong with crypto. But at the same time, we want to really think, you know, methodically about what we're actually accomplishing. There's nothing wrong with putting a little bit of money, but it should never be kind of our primary investment structure and strategy that we work with. So that's my definition of sexy investing.
That makes sense. So something that's like outwardly attractive right off the bat, but maybe doesn't have a lot of depth to it yet. I mean, because some of those things I'm sure will grow into something that is more sustainable and things like that. But
well, and it's also more like it's a flash in the pan. Like you're going to invest in the stuff, but it's not something that has been proven long term to be something that is actually worth the money that you're investing. And like, for me, I'm very cautious on what I invest in, except for books. So, I mean, I pretty much am like, nope, I'm not.
Argue that's a really good investment. You know, you're investing in your knowledge and your future.
Hey, I sure, we'll do that. I also am just, I want books because I'm a book dragon. I need a hoard that's shiny and pretty. So,
well, and I think people that also going back to this article, right?
Yeah,
it's this big percentage of our population, this Gen X, that's going to have some money transfer coming in. And I would submit to you that the vast majority of that generation, because I'm in the middle of it, has not had probably the right level of financial education. So when these wealth transfer happens, there's going to be a temptation because the foundational principles of money management and just those really strong principles may not be as solid as they should be. And so there's going to be a temptation to look at maybe these, quote, sexy investing things and to have people that are in the sales, the financial sales side of things, push and market these things to people that may not have that level. And so there could be a pretty strong, pretty high drain of dilution of those assets going to these sexy investments. Yeah. I had a client that recently put in tens of thousands of dollars, purchased some crypto. And they weren't really at a place to be able to do that, but they did anyway because of some of the recommendations that were made in the sexy investing space. So they did. Mm-hmm. And I think the number that they put into was, let's just say, for example's sake, it was 40. And they immediately lost almost 10K in just a few days because of that volatility, right? It's that sexy component.
That's a great right there.
So just thinking through some of those strategies and thoughts, you know, that's why financial coaching is really important, to walk alongside with people, not just from the investing side, but make sure, do we have the foundational structure in place so that we can maybe look at that when we're ready to. When we're not ready, there's a lot of risk. So
absolutely. Really,
I'm sorry.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I was going to kind of caveat on what Rudy's point was, as far as the sexy, and you mentioned like volatile, like how your client lost like almost
sexy.
It's like, it's consistency over intensity, like the long, boring, like, you know, the index funds, the things that take time, and those things that are not like, oh, look, guys, I've got a crypto, or I've got a Bitcoin, or I've got a Dogecoin, which don't even get me started on that one. I fell into that a couple times.
Dogecoin.
So the majority of those intense, like you say, we're saying the intense investments are super volatile. And it, I mean, your client, reading these articles, your client's not the only one. That is a very typical thing to do, is invest in these sexy things that everyone's doing. They're super volatile. And I think that's what the sex appeal is. It's like high risk, but super high gain. And then I can buy that Lambo. I can go to, you know, Cannes Film Festival. I can go party on Ibiza. I can do all these things that these figureheads and rock stars and talking heads are doing online. But, you know, that's the sexy part. But then sitting there and like using time, using compound interest, using consistency, it's totally not sexy apparently, but that's what makes you rich. That's what makes you a millionaire, keeps you a millionaire. So it's a mindset change. And I think that's a big thing that we deal with, especially with younger clients. Or, I mean, I felt the same thing, so I'm not going to bag on the younger clients, but
fall into that.
Let's jump in this next article because it kind of piggybacks really nicely to the first one.
Yeah, and this next article is Retirement Bites. Almost half of Gen Xers say that they need a miracle to retire. Now, I will be the first to admit, when my parents were, me and my sister were growing up, they would always say, invest in your 401k. But my parents were also of the generation that you stay with a job for a long time. Most Gen Xers, millennials, and Gen Zers have multiple jobs or have had a lot of jobs in their lifetime. And so investing in 401k is great, but you also need to have it outside of your working environment. Like, it can't just be your work 401k. It has to be a separate one, because that way you're still investing in your retirement. But I'd love to get Nick or Rudy, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because like, I'm really not a Gen Xer, but I do understand, like, it's tough out there looking to retire. So
I do just want to say that this shocked me reading this,
right?
Because the oldest members of Generation X are turning 59 and a half, which I didn't realize, kind of like Rudy said. And that's why I popped in. It's like they're growing older. I was kind of being sarcastic, but also like genuinely, I didn't realize how much older Gen X is getting, but I guess we are getting older too.
Right.
But yeah, it's mind blowing to me that I mean, they're retiring soon. Like, so Verb should be retiring.
Or hopefully retired.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to pop that in there because
Exactly.
You know what I use to judge how like either old I feel or you know how just totally mind boggling how these the younger generations don't know like what we went through is so I'm on stage teaching and I always make movie references when I'm instructing my survival lessons and I always make references to the original Top Gun and I'll know if there's a crowd that's really young because I get like I'm looking in an auditorium of 80 people. And if I get like crickets or someone like, I think this joke is hilarious, I've done it 100 times, delivery is flawless, it's great. And then like one person chuckles. And I'm like, wait a minute, how old are you? Who's the oldest person here? And the guy's like, I was born in 2005. I'm like, oh my gosh.
But wait.
Now I'm going to go find newer movies.
Hold on. You just can't judge on that though, because my parents raised me on the classics. Like I watched the original Top Gun and I watched the original Jurassic Park and I watched the original Star Wars. My parents were like, you will watch these. It was not a choice. It was, we're doing this. It's a family day. So you can't judge us all on that. Like, come on now. But
I'm just saying, I was like, wow, this is, I got to change my material here. Cause I was like, wow, I'm like dating myself when I reference all those old movies.
I would be only silent people get just saying.
Well, and
it's old.
You got to keep me young.
Well, and with one thing with the Gen Xers, they're really kind of what's known online as the silent generation. You have the boomers, you have the millennials, you have the Gen Z, and you also have the alpha generation, which frankly scares me. They are the new ones that are coming up and they're terrifying.
Child is terrifying.
Yeah.
The best way.
Yeah. It's gonna be amazing, but they're literally, but because the Gen Xers are so much of the silent generation, they really were left on their own for retirement figuring out because boomers had the stipend, boomers had the 401ks and the jobs that were forever long. And then Gen Xers were like, hi, what about us? So Rudy, what are your thoughts on this article on that?
I think my biggest commentary on this one kind of piggybacks the previous one. Mm-hmm. And this is by, who is this by actually? Amy Peachy with Money Watch, CBS News. But she talks about that Gen Xers, and again, just to put that in perspective, 44 to 59 is kind of the age range, but it talks about that 48%, based on their survey, just stopped thinking about retirement.
Yeah.
And not that we should have it as a constant, thing we are always thinking about or concerned about, but 48%, that's half of this population. Let's say at the lowest level, 44, they've kind of stopped thinking about retirement. Now, the way I read the article and took it was that this group of people just really didn't think about it, really didn't look at maybe where they're at retirement-wise.
Yeah.
But if you go up to 59, that's almost 60 years of age.
Yeah.
So, again, it piggybacks on that previous article that I think this grouping may not have been given enough, not education, but maybe enough emphasis or importance about planning ahead, planning for what is coming. Because listen, at the end of the day, we are all going to retire 100% of the time, right? It's either going to be forced upon us, right? Through mental, physical, whatever it is, or we get to choose to work when we want to. Yeah. And that's kind of our definition at CrossShield of what retirement is. Working when you want to, right? Because I think we've kind of crossed a kind of this imaginary line a few years ago of everyone being of the mindset that at a certain age, I am going to retire. I'm not going to have to work. I'm going to go and, just enjoy my place out on the farm or go. And the reality is that's changed though, right? Stephanie, you mentioned earlier, the mindset was you work at one place, you kind of build up your 401k, maybe pension way back in the day.
Exactly.
And then you get to kind of live on those earnings until you pass away, because the reality is we are all going to pass away.
Yep.
But that mindset is, I mean, I run into so many clients that I talk to, it's like, I don't really have any desire to retire. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to work when I want to. But guess what? We live in this land. We're in a you know, a podcast that you can do across the country wherever you are at. And so this idea and this concept of, you know, going in and punching a clock in a physical location for 8 hours a day, that is just, you can still do that, but you don't have to, I guess, is my
Exactly.
So I just think there's a huge need for this generation to really get their finances right, get things ready. And if you've gone, like for me, maybe 20, 30 years with not having good information to work with, you know, you're probably at a loss of where to start. That's what we do. So
anyway. Exactly. And it's also like a kind of a rearranging of the mindset too, because a lot of I know, speaking as a millennial, I know a lot of us millennials didn't even think we would get to be this old. I mean, we've survived 9/11. We survived the Great Recession, and we pretty much were like, we have the, we only live once. We can go ahead and do that. And now we're starting to get into our 30s and our 40s. And we're like, wait, we now have to plan for when we're not working. Oh no. And it's not something. Yeah. It's not something that's taught in schools. And that's the bad thing.
Well, we also like grew up being told like Social Security is not going to
That too. That too.
I remember that. Spiel on that. Yeah, from a young age, I can remember my father telling me that.
Same.
I'm like, thank you, Bruce. But at a young age, he was like, you know, you need to think about your retirement.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, 12.
12. Exactly. It's like
Social Security is not going to be a thing.
And I'm like, that's an old.
That's when you're old. I don't need that.
I'm going to be young forever.
You know, I'm like, Dad, come on. I'm a pretty princess. That's fine.
I think it's interesting that you bring that up, Sky, because like, I think I want to highlight the, like, the contrast of what's happening. Like, this is the first generation is that the 401k is the primary vehicle for retirement. Like before you had pensions, you had those things, and Social Security was a thing. I just want to, like, side note, Social Security was like invented by FDR in 1935, where the average life expectancy for a male was 60 and for a woman was 65. So they could start drawing at 60, and but you're only supposed to live for 5 years max, you know, after that. People are retiring at the same age. It's set at the same thing, but people are living to, men are 76 and women are 80 and above. So like there's a massive gap. And I know, like, I'll know I'm gonna make almost four. I know there's gonna be people that are gonna be very mad at this, but like if the government's going to keep funding this, which, you know, that's a debate, but like, it's going to not be like solvable very quickly if the age stays the same. And I think like moving to the 401k thing, it's there's a lot of, I think Rudy touched on it too. There's a lot of, like I said, I wouldn't say miseducation or uneducated, but there was like, suddenly it went from, okay, we're not doing a pension anymore, to 401k. It's all on you guys. Now. Mm-hmm. It's all on the employee instead of the employer or the government. And I think there was a transition where this new product came out. It was this is the way we're going. And there wasn't a lot of like literacy on our education on, you know, what is a 401k? What do you have to do to be successful at it? It wasn't any of that. And then that's to me, I experienced that because I joined the military at the point where there is a pension, you know, and then now if you join, it's a 401k. Like there is no pension option. So you get these young guys who are doing these things and they're like, oh crap. I'm like, thank goodness. Cause I was that mindset. That's what I was planning for. So my whole financial, you know, scenario was built around, I'm going to have my retirement. It's not much, but it's enough to do what I want to do on it. And I maximize it through, you know, smart investing and smart spending. But yeah, I think that's a really scary thing. And I think that the employers had, or should have, a more like responsible role in really educating. Mm-hmm. I have a client and she was like, yeah, I have no idea about like what it was. The HR person just put this paper in front of me and said, sign it. Here's your 401k. This is what you're doing. And the person had no idea. That's a very common story. So I think there needs to be a financial person in that company explaining financial things and not have HR explaining, you know, retirement stuff, just like, we don't want insurance agents telling us what investment options are best. I think there needs to be like a connection there.
For sure. What secrets Absolutely. Are you guys sharing over there, Rudy?
Sorry. Yes, well, Zoodle is whispering over to Rudy, and I'm very curious as to what we're talking about.
Yeah, Zoodle's still trying to figure out this whole podcast thing, so he's kind of whispering to me a little bit. Okay. Hey, I just want to say one thing about this whole conversation. Nick, you touched on a little bit, and that is we must be responsible for our own financial house.
Exactly.
And our own financial future. And, even though I may not have had, I wouldn't say the information, but maybe I wasn't prompted, Sky, maybe like you were. It's like, okay, guys, think about your retirement. Think about the future. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though I wasn't, that doesn't negate my responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. Regardless of how old I get, if I'm 59, if I'm 65, if I'm, 22, it's still my responsibility to figure Absolutely. These things out. It's not the government. It's not an elected official. It's not mm-hmm. their responsibility to help me, to force me, right, to do retirement, to do Social Security. Now, granted, we have Social Security, and we have to participate in that process, but it's not their response. I mean, look how mm-hmm. successful, and again, not to bash on people, but it is a government entity. Any government entity that I release the power and authority from my life and my future over to them, mm-hmm. guess what? It is not going to be probably what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I just want to reiterate that to the audience. And we help people rediscover their own power exactly. and their ability to build wealth and be in control yes. of their money, of their lives, of their family, mm-hmm. their future. Right.
Absolutely.
So just want to level set that. That's what Zoodle mentioned. He was kind of, freaking out over here.
Like, absolutely.
It's full of wisdom.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and the thing is that, yes, it's your responsibility, but also if you're not planning for it, you can't blame anybody but yourself when you get to be about 75 and you still have to work at Walmart because you don't have retirement. So yes, it is your responsibility, but also if you're not doing anything, don't blame somebody else. Like, that's what my dad always told me. He's like, if you're not saving for emergency, you can't blame anybody else when you have an emergency, because it will happen. So make sure that you're starting planning. And we will talk about that in just a moment about how you can really start your financial journey. But I wanted to mention, this is some really interesting news. And we found this article and it says, Apple kills off its buy now, pay later service barely a year after the launch. Now, if you guys don't know, we have pretty strong opinions on the buy now, pay later things that are going on in this country. And Apple decided to do, with its Apple Pay, it decided to do an Apple buy now, pay later service. And so there were two reasons, when I was looking at this article, there were two reasons that basically faltered. And the first was that the consumers basically staged a coup against it. And they were like, no, we don't want this. And the second was that it was only available where Apple Pay was available. So Sky, I know we were talking a little bit about this, so I'd love to get your thoughts on that, because I know that you and I we tend to use Apple Pay a lot on our
Yeah, stuff. Absolutely. I mean, I kind of feel the same way that most people do. Like, I'm like, I do use Apple Pay quite a bit. Experience symptoms of ADHD and forget my wallet a lot. And so I tend to use, like, I will literally have a handful of things and walk up to the register and I'm like, oh wait, do you take Apple Pay? In panic. And I'm like, yeah.
I was at a restaurant that happened once. It was really embarrassing.
Oh yeah, that happened to me in a restaurant too. Oh, it's painful. I think I found out a way to pay them. I don't remember. I've had the same. No, it was a Los Cabos, and I had to go back the next day. Yeah,
they actually let you do that.
Yeah, well, the bartender was super cool because we were sitting at the bar, and she was like, "Hey." You're good. I mean, I understand. And I was like, I'm not lying to you. Like, I
don't
have my debit card. So she was like, come back tomorrow.
The bartender?
Yes, I was sitting at the bar. I was eating.
I mean, hey, not a drink.
I was doing
that's
both.
Totally fine.
I don't think that's ever worked for me.
You well.
Every time my wife is argued out of a speeding ticket, and I like, they look at me, I tried the same line. They're like, yeah, don't care.
Well, I think Stephanie can attest to this. It's like a female thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, in the like you know, restaurant bar scene. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I got you, girl, you know.
Yeah, girl, you're good, girl. Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah. And we were talking it up. So I was like, I'll be back. I did. I went back and I bought, good. Like, I bought yeah. more food and drinks from her and tipped her really well. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Anyways, regardless.
That, I'm thinking like, about starting to wash dishes now. Yeah.
So that's like without my like qualms against my like buy now, pay later
yeah.
situation. That's one thing. I agree. Also, sorry, my dog is whining. Also, I just paid off my buy now, pay later.
Yeah, baby.
So I'm like, I'm not doing that again.
No.
I'll put that in my Apple wallet. I don't want
don't
that.
Do that. Put yeah, it away exactly. From me. Well, and it's just, it's so easy. And, you know, we've talked about this numerous times. You can go back pretty much on every episode. I think we've talked about buy now, pay later, and you can go and listen to those, but literally it's just because you want it now does not mean you have to have it now. Mm-hmm. Do you have the money for it? Do you have money for food and gas first? Like, you don't need $150 pair of shoes for the buy now, pay later. You don't. But I'm just super happy about Apple discontinuing it. So we kind of mentioned it, Rudy, a little bit earlier before we were recording, and you had a couple thoughts. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, and when they discontinued, they went ahead and allowed Affirm to be part of their buy now. So the buy now, pay later with Apple, as far as the connection, it didn't go anywhere. But they specifically, you know, stopped it. And mm-hmm. don't really know why. I'm assuming it's like, okay, we're a technology products company. We don't really want to get into the lending credit space because mm-hmm. guess what? When you do that, and given the regulation that just got brought in a few weeks ago where they got yes. approved, mm-hmm. saying that buy now, pay later companies are going to be regulated as credit card entities, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. there's government oversight. Right, mm-hmm. that you yep. let into your organization. Yep. And as we all know, Apple has been very, very consistent in their privacy policy of things. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, long story short, don't do buy now, pay later. It's bad.
No. Don't do it.
pay for it when you have the money to pay it.
Exactly. Listen,
broke people say how much and how long. Mm-hmm. Wealthy people with wealthy mindset say, how much?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Let that sink in a little bit, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Can't buy your way into a meaningful life. That was my favorite line from that. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. And like, here's the thing. If you really want something, first off, I will tell you, there will always be a sale. There will always be a sale, probably around Christmas time. Probably around, you know, Memorial Day or Labor Day or something, there will be a sale. If you really want the item, save $10 a week from your paycheck, pay for it in cash. I mean, do a budget. That's literally what you need to do, is save up, have that discipline, and decide that you want the thing. Don't do a buy now, pay later. Like, that's just not going
to
happen.
And guess what? You get to enjoy it, the full yes! value mm. of it right mm-hmm. then, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of like, oh my gosh, I've got another payment to make. Oh, this thing I bought, you know, yeah, I enjoy, but good Lord, it sucks making 3, 4, 5 hammering payments on it, right? Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We are Cross Shield Financial. And if you would like to have a free 15-minute consultation, please feel free to click the link below and you can meet with either Rudy or Nick to get started on your financial journey. And if you like today's podcast, make sure to hit that like button, the subscribe and follow. And also check out our bio for links to all our socials to stay tuned on what's next with weekly financial news, as well as our new podcast, Too Many S's. We upload every Friday.